Thanks both. Let us pray. Loving God, Lord, our Father, help us to understand these things, we pray. Yes, Lord, open our ears to receive your word, open our eyes to perceive your truth, and our hearts to be changed by your Holy Spirit working in us. Father God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, cause and effect. Friends, it's all about cause and effect. It's great to be here. I have been here before. I have led services here before, I think probably when your previous vicar, Tom, was on sabbatical, but I haven't been here for a while, and it's good to be back. And it's really kind of you, actually, to make me feel so at home in lots of different ways. But one of the ways in which you have made me feel at home is that you've given me a choice this morning, two readings, one from John's Gospel, as we've just heard, and one from the book of Acts. And the reason that these both make me feel very at home is because I'm vicar of two churches, actually. I'm the vicar of St. John's in Sparkhill, where I would otherwise be as we speak. And I'm also the vicar of Christ Church in Sparkbrook. We meet at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And at St. John's at the moment, we are working our way through the Gospel according to St. John, though we haven't got quite as far as this. And in Christchurch at the moment, we're working our way through the book of Acts. And in fact, this afternoon, I'm preaching on a passage from Acts chapter 20. We've been at that for quite a while, and chapter 20 is where we are up to. And so I feel quite at home with both of these things. It's as if I've never even left the shop. And in the end, because I spoke at a funeral this week on the passage that you've had from John, I thought we'd have a bit of variety, at least for me, and we'd look at the Acts passage instead. I hope that's okay. And actually, I wonder if we could have the Acts passage up on the screen. We'll start at the beginning and work our way through to the end. So Stephen is standing, as we have heard, as Jesus himself, not long before this episode, has stood in front of a rather corrupt religious council. And the result, on the face of it, is going to be basically the same as it was in the case of Jesus. Jesus appeared before a corrupt ruling council and then was hauled off to his death, although on that occasion they had to involve the Romans as well. And today, Stephen stands in front of this corrupt ruling council, many of the same men, no doubt, and it's not going to end well for him. It's all about cause and effect. Stephen, it tells us in our reading, full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Well, it's this vision, this revelation that Stephen is given and which Stephen describes. This is the cause, more or less, of everything else, actually, that we see in our reading today. Stephen's vision of the living God revealed in Jesus Christ by the power of his own Holy Spirit. Stephen's vision, yes, and the immediacy of that vision. As he speaks, you can almost feel that it's right here in his heart. This is almost physically before him, this vision of God in his majesty, in his splendor, this vision of the glory of God in Christ by the power of his own Holy Spirit. Now I know, and of course it's the whole reason that I'm here today, I know that you're in a vacancy at the moment, not long begun. And a vacancy, of course, as well as, or as part of that process of drawing up a parish profile, work I know which is underway. A vacancy is supposed to be the time, probably more than any other time, when a church gets to really look at itself. And I pray that that's what you're doing now, before you even set pen to paper or finger to keyboard or word to voice replicating device, whatever it is, however that profile is written. I pray that before you even begin on that work, you take the opportunity to look in, to ask yourselves demanding questions. Because now, friends, is the time to do it. It's all about shaping the future. And there's a very obvious question, and here it is, in fact, asked for us in effect by this reading today. What's your vision of the living God revealed in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit? And how immediate is that vision to you? For Stephen, it's practically there right in front of his nose. And who would say that was a bad way to be? What is your vision of the God we meet in Jesus Christ? And what is he calling you to be and to do in this season, in this place, for these people and his glory? How immediate is that vision to you? And how does that vision shape all of your thinking and all of your doing as you plan and prepare for a future of service? I pray to God, friends, that it does. So this vision that Stephen has, that he sees almost physically right there before him, as he comes to the end of this earthly life as he has known it. You'll see in this vision just how thoroughly Trinitarian, if I could use that long word, just how thoroughly Trinitarian the vision is. You, like me, we spend a lot of time relating well to our Muslim neighbours and friends. We cannot live in an area like this without that being the case if we are doing what we are called to be. And I love spending time with Muslim neighbours and friends and talking to them and getting to know them. And sometimes people both from a Muslim background and from a Christian background, they say to me, well, of course, it's all the same God. And of course, when they say that, it's always well meant. And behind it, there lies an appropriate desire to be one community together. We're all pulling in the same direction. We're all singing from the same hymn sheet. I get it. I understand it. I support it. Unfortunately, of course, it's not really true. And I think probably we as Christians, and I think Muslim friends, when they think about it, we'd all have to agree that that's so. Because what do we believe in? If we are followers of Jesus Christ, what do we believe in? We believe in the God that he reveals. And that God, and we say it when we say our creeds, fundamental to who we are, who is the God that we follow? There is one God. The Muslims are right. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, to our Muslim friends, that makes no sense at all, any more than it does to our non-Christian Jewish friends. And there's lots we could say about it. But who is the God that we follow? If we are followers of Jesus Christ, we follow one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that Trinitarian understanding, that understanding of who God is, we see it right here in our reading today. It says that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, well, there you go, Holy Spirit, check, looked up to heaven, he saw the glory of God, the Father by the Spirit, through the Son, the Father through the Son by the Spirit. That same glory of God that was there for the people in the desert in the Old Testament. The glory of God, that same glory of God that descended on the temple and lived within it. Now here, in the hearts of his people, full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen looked up and he saw the glory of God and Jesus himself standing at the right hand of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, because his vision is of this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it must, by definition, be a vision which is filled with the glory of God. The glory of God, there it is in that verse. It's a vision imbued, filled with God's glory. And so is this the revelation, is this the vision that is before your eyes? in your hearts as you decide what you want in a new vicar, which is actually not a question about a new vicar at all. That in the end, and I speak as a vicar myself, but that in the end is really quite coincidental. The question is never what you want in a new vicar. The question is, who are we as a people? Because actually, when you know who you are as a people, and just as important, who God is calling you to be for these people around us, well, then all of the filling in and the details and the small print about, okay, so if that's the case, the new vicar needs to be this, or the new vicar needs to be that. But you've got to have that vision before you first. And what does God's glory look like? What would God's glory look like in Springfield for you? What will it take for the people around to say with the prophet in maybe a year's time, the glory of this present house, by which I mean not the building, fine though it is, but ourselves who are the people of God. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. That's the prophet Haggai, Haggai chapter 2. What will it take for people to say that? Are you, friends, filled with the Spirit like Stephen? Look, he said, verse 56, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen here, of course, using one of the titles that Jesus used of himself, Son of Man, drawing on Daniel chapter 7. And of course, Jesus has to be the Son of Man. If he is to be Savior, as he is, thank God, Jesus has to be the Son of Man, because only a son of man or a daughter of woman could possibly pay the price for all of the sins that human beings have committed. Humanity must pay the price of human sin. And so this title, this Son of Man title that Jesus uses of himself so often, and which Stephen uses right here in this reading as well, actually within that title, Son of Man, there is everything really about what we believe about sin and atonement, about how God made us right with him through Christ's death and his resurrection and his glorious coming again. Lord, may it come. Christ's death in our place for the sins of the world. What part in your vision does that play? How close to the center is it? This Son of Man standing at the right hand of God to judge and to vindicate his people, maybe starting with Stephen, the very first martyr. In fact, what part actually does martyrdom play in our vision? How would that play in your parish profile, I wonder? Cause and effect, friends, cause and effect. We're talking about cause and effect, and it's actually this vision of God that Stephen has and the immediacy of the vision he has which causes, God willing, everything else that we see in our reading today. Because at this, it tells us, verse 57, at this, it tells us, they covered their ears. And yelling at the tops of their voices, they all rushed at him and they dragged him out of the city and they began to stone him. Cause and effect. Because you see, effect number one of the vision that Stephen has and the vision that Stephen describes, effect number one is that the authorities, they grab him. They may not actually quite have the legal power to do this, and they're certainly not doing it in a very legal looking way, but it's what happens. They grab him and they take him outside and they stone him to death. Cause and effect. And of course, we'd have to be painfully naive ourselves if we thought that in many places in the world today it was any different. In many places in the world today, if you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, well, you might not make yourself popular. And you might be stoned and you might be killed. And there is always a price to be paid for following Jesus Christ and sharing the good news with the people around us. Effect number one of the vision of God is that it will not always make us popular. Are we ready for that? Get ready. Because it's Stephen's own words, which, at least in the eyes of these people who grab him, it's his own words that have condemned him. In the same way that actually in this author's account, because of course this book of Acts was written by St. Luke, who has already written the gospel that bears his name. So if you look back at Luke's gospel, at Luke chapter 22, it was actually Jesus' own words about himself that were finally taken to justify his killing. And now, the same with Stephen. They covered their ears. We live in a world, don't we, where people are very ready to cover their ears, even at the slightest hint of an offence being given. In fact, say certain things in polite company and the cry will quickly go up. Saying, well, such a terrible thing, whatever it might be, and whether we agree with it or not, and very often I don't, but the cry goes up, this statement must be outlawed. These people must be banished. We don't want their sort around here. Cover your ears. And these men, and sorry men, but they are all guys, these men who we hear about in this reading today, they have got a good reason to be shocked, actually. They have got a good reason to cover their ears, because the words that Stephen speaks, these are contrary to everything they believe, to everything they've been taught, to everything they believe points to God. And anybody who speaks in this way, as Stephen speaks, well, this man can only be speaking blasphemy, right? And we know what both the law and morality have to say about that. It's more than their poor fleshly ears can cope with. Cover your ears, cover your ears. No wonder that they all rush at him, because they are a mob and nothing more. They behave like the mob that they are. They drag him out of the city. They stone him to death, yet another extrajudicial killing, just like Jesus. And actually, according to the Jewish law, if you look back at the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 17, it says that those who are witnesses should cast the first stone. And these are the men who heard Stephen's words, and therefore, they're the ones to do it. Of course. And meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, but we're going to come back to him in a couple of minutes' time. So if Stephen's vision and the clarity of his vision, the immediacy of his vision, if that is the cause of his killing, his death then is the effect of him sharing the vision that he has and his sense of God's closeness beside him by the Spirit. Well, his killing is not the only effect of the things that he sees. Because he goes on, it goes on in verse 59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Some of you, I think, will have known somebody that I also knew, an impressive and godly woman who was part of St. John's Church in Sparkhill for many, many years, a woman by the name of Joy Holt. I think perhaps some of you knew Joy. She died a couple of years ago in 2024, autumn. And there's lots that I could say about Joy, not least that we really miss her. I really miss her. We miss her not just personally, though we do miss her personally very much indeed, but also because she was such a committed and capable servant of the gospel in St. John's Church and in Spark Hill. We really, really miss her. But just as they said of one English king when he was about to have his head chopped off, nothing about him became him so much in life as the leaving of it. While Joy had many, many wonderful characteristics, which I could talk about for hours, and we continue to celebrate her life and to honour her memory, it was the way that she faced her final illness and impending death. Well, that was a masterclass, if I can put it like that, in Christian wisdom, Christian maturity, Christian witness, and dignity. What a picture she was of a death lived in the light of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Because this was a wise woman who had spent a lifetime preparing for, being prepared for the end, a model of Christian discipleship. And I hope, I pray, that one day the same will be said about me. And if there's anybody here facing death at the moment, the truths that nurture Joy are truths for you as well. God bless you, and thank you for your continuing ministry among us. Stephen has such a clear and immediate vision of the glory of God, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has such a clear revelation that you see just how calmly it allows him to approach his own end. Look at the cause and effect. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Imagine you're being stoned. There's quite a few things that you might say, not least, "Ouch," or "Do you mind? Would you possibly consider not doing that? I thank you so much." All those things you could say, and no doubt a whole lot more. But look at his peace. Look at his calm. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Words, by the way, which Jesus himself, of course, said on the cross. And you'll note, as we're talking about the Holy Trinity, that Stephen makes his prayer to Jesus himself here, just as Jesus on the cross made it to the Father. There is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Stephen entrusts himself wholly to the Lord and his care. And up the Stratford Road at St. John's Church in this morning, where I would otherwise be, I know that one of the songs they're singing, I'm sure you sing it here too sometimes, it's that Matt Redman song, 10,000 Reasons. "On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forever more." Well, you may well know that in 2005, an Australian by the name of Andrew Chalmers arrested. He was convicted. He was one of the Bali Nine, convicted of smuggling drugs into Indonesia. And he was sentenced to death, and he spent 10 years on death row. And it was on death row that this man, whose life to that point in the eyes of the world had amounted to not very much, really, but it was on death row that Andrew Chan became a Jesus follower. And actually he ended up as a pastor to his fellow inmates there in the jail in some pretty hard conditions. And then after 10 years, they took him outside. They didn't stone him, but they shot him to death. Death by firing squad, execution by firing squad alongside seven others. And as they went, this was the song that they were singing, 10,000 Reasons. And Brother Andrew himself said in the days leading up to his death, as his final day approached, in my last moments here on earth, he said, I will sing out Alleluia. And he did. I've run the good race, I've fought the good fight, I came out a winner in God's sight and men's. I now leave in peace and in love, and I pray that you'll all know how I valued and treasured your love and your friendship. Who will you witness to today? A man who was prepared for the end, a man who said, in effect, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And it is this readiness, it is this preparedness, this too is one of the effects of the immediacy, the vividness, the clarity of the vision that Stephen has, who God really is. This is the vision. This is the vision that allows him to go gentle into that good night, not raging and fighting against the dying of the light, but secure in the knowledge that all things will be right. What is our vision of God? Is this the vision of God and his glory that St. Christopher's will teach to its people, that will be known here in your hearts, in your minds, as you move forwards to your next phase together, cause and effect? While they were stoning him, yes, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But also he fell to his knees, verse 60, and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, Andrew Chan, that Australian brother, he ended this earthly life in a state of forgiveness. I'm very confident that Joy Holt did as well, and we can see for a fact that Stephen does. And none of this should surprise us, because it's cause and effect, friends. It's cause and effect. And if our vision of God is big enough to catch something of the reality of God in his glory, if it's immediate enough, if it's close enough, if he's close enough, or rather, because Jesus is always close, if we are close enough to him, if we can catch something of the immediacy, if we can catch something of the closeness of the God that we meet in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, then just as he shows us and is a God of forgiveness, which we see most of all at the cross in his death and his resurrection, well, it's no surprise then that we see this same forgiveness in Stephen. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. The calm and the peace with which he goes to his death, full of forgiveness for his tormentors, secure in the knowledge that he himself is forgiven. When he had said this, he fell asleep. That's a Hebrew expression, but actually quite right, because it speaks of the calm with which he dies, even in the most appalling of ways, stoned to death, but he knows God's peace. And Stephen's forgiveness in itself, this is a powerful testimony. His martyrdom in itself is a giving of witness. But of course we also know the reality, which is the cause of Stephen's forgiveness, which is the much greater forgiveness we find in Jesus Christ from the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit, and all for God's glory alone. So as you write your parish profile, when the time comes, having pondered and prayed, hold on to the truths that Christians believe, the truths which the whole of this Bible do tell us. that God made all things good, but that we human beings have got it wrong again and again and again. But purely in God's goodness and purely from his love, his Son Jesus came for the sins of the world, and he died on the cross and he rose from the dead, and one day he's coming again. Praise the Lord. Alhamdulillah. Praise the Lord. One day Jesus is coming, and all shall be right, and every tear wiped from every human eye, and every pain forgotten, and every hope restored. And what a day will that be when he comes bringing mercy and life. Hold on to these thoughts and keep them before you as you write your profile in the weeks and months ahead. And so we finish. This morning, we finish with someone who, from an earthly viewpoint, kind of looks like they're set up to be a lifelong opponent of Jesus and the gospel. Because we're told that the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. He's obviously in on this. He approves the execution. I mean, people looked at Andrew Chan and they must have thought in his younger years, what a no-hoper he is, this petty crim, this small-time crook. And yet, look what in God's wisdom and kindness he became. Well, we could say the same about this young man, Saul. He's never going to amount to much. He's just going to persecute Christians and he'll be hated and he'll be remembered for the bad things that he's done. But we know what's coming. Saul doesn't at this point. He would be very surprised if you told him what was going to happen to him. But we know, if we know our scriptures, if we know our Bibles, and we know that Stephen's prayer, "Lord, do not hold their sin against them," is not only going to be honored, but that it is going to be honored 100-fold and more in the ministry of this young man, Saul, who will become Paul, God's apostle to the Gentiles. And most of us here, I'm sure, are Gentiles. We thank God, therefore, for Paul, because he was the apostle to us. And we know that the same vision that Stephen has, the same immediacy of vision which we pray for St. Christopher's, will be before Paul in all that he does. If you were to come to Christ Church this afternoon, we're up to chapter 20. He's almost finished his missionary journeys. He's finishing off in Ephesus. We're at the other end of the Paul story, more or less, although he's still got a few adventures to have. Read about Paul. Read Paul's letters. And this is the vision before him. In fact, it might not be too fanciful to wonder if it's the power of Stephen's witness on the day of his death that will play a part by the Spirit in Saul's embrace of new life on that day when he dies to himself once for all in his encounter with the Lord on the dry desert road. And it should certainly be an encouragement, a cause of fresh hope for those of us who long for loved ones to know Jesus as well. We pray for their own godly vision. So friends, as I finish, we have talked today about cause and effect. Thank you for having me. I wish you all well, and particularly over these coming weeks when you do sit down to write your profile. May we, like Stephen, be full of the Spirit. May we, like Stephen, have our eyes fixed on heaven and the glory of God. May we, like Stephen, know God powerfully through the ministry of his own risen Son, Son of Man, who stands at the right hand to love and to bless. May we know the forgiveness of our one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we live lives of forgiveness to others as well. And when the time comes, may we all be ready. And let St. Christopher's be a place of preparation for that too, its cause and effect. Friends, its cause and effect. May the Lord be with you and bless you. Amen.